on the development of our views concerning the nature and constitution of radiation. He told the audience that the next stage in the development of theoretical physics will bring us a theory of light that may be conceived of as a sort of fusion of the wave and of the emission theory of light. It was not a hunch, but based on the result of an inspired thought experiment involving a mirror suspended inside a black body. He managed to derive an equation for the fluctuations of the energy and momentum of radiation that contained two very distinct parts. One corresponded to the wave theory of light, while the other had all the hallmarks of the radiation being composed of quanta. Both parts appeared to be indispensable, as did the two theories of light. It was the first prediction of what would later be called wave-particle duality, that light was both a particle and a wave. Planck, who was chairing, was the first to speak after Einstein sat down. He thanked him for the lecture, and then told everyone he disagreed. He reiterated his firmly held belief that quanta were necessary only in the exchange between matter and radiation. To believe, as Einstein did, that light was actually made up of quanta, Planck said, was not yet necessary. Only Johannes Stark stood up to support Einstein. Sadly, he, like Lenard, would later become a Nazi, and the two of them would attack Einstein and his work as Jewish physics. Einstein left the patent office to devote more of his time to research. He was in for a rude awakening when he arrived in Zurich. The time he needed to prepare for the 7 hours of lectures that he gave each week left him complaining that his actual free time is less than in Bern. The students were struck by the shabby appearance of their new professor, but Einstein quickly gained their respect and affection by his informal style as he encouraged them to interrupt if anything was unclear. Outside formal lectures, at least once a week, he took his students along to the Café Terrasse to chat and gossip until closing time. Before long, he got used to his workload and turned his attention to using the quantum to solve a long-standing problem. In 1819, two French scientists, Pierre Dulong and Alexis Petit, measured the specific heat capacity, the amount of energy needed to raise the temperature of a kilogram of a substance by 1 degree, for various metals, from copper to gold. For the next 50 years, no one who believed in atoms doubted their conclusion that the atoms of all simple bodies have exactly the same heat capacity. It therefore came as a great surprise when, in the 1870s, exceptions were discovered.